Praise God. Well, last Sunday, you know, we began to talk about spiritual guidance. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're going to reiterate just a couple of things. But even when we do reiterate and review some things, it's never the same as it was, you know. But I think the subject of spiritual guidance is of utmost importance for you as a believer. Amen. I'll tell you, when I first got saved and I came into the kingdom of God, man, I had just an unquenchable desire inside my heart. Lord, I want to know what my purpose is. I want to know why I'm here, what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not just an accident going somewhere to happen. I want to know I'm here for a purpose. You put me here for a reason. And so, thankfully, I was able to get in an atmosphere, and it just happened to be in church, where I was able to find out what I was called to do and so forth and so on. I'm going to be sharing some of those principles here. And we talked about last week, is the question is this: is there supernatural guidance for believers? The answer is yes. If so, then how does God lead and direct us? And that's, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of this. How does God lead and direct us as His children? You know, you read through things like in the book of Acts, and you see at times where there were angels that gave guidance and direction to the believers, not only the apostles, but regular believers as well. And we're going to get into that too, about angelic things like that, and talk about that. But over in Exodus chapter 13, I want you to notice here in verse 20. We read this last week, and it says, now of course this is the Old Testament, it says, and they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, and led them by way by the night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, before the people of God. Now we know that, of course, in the Old Testament is inferior to the New Testament. We live in the New Testament. And because of that, the Bible says in, I think it's Hebrews 8:6, that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. So what we see in the Old Testament is pale in comparison to what we have under the New Testament. Amen? Now, the Lord specifically had to, once the Israelites came out of Egypt, and God led them through the Red Sea and part of the Red Sea and led them into the wilderness, He used this thing that we just read, right, this scriptures that we just read here in Exodus. They had a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And wherever that cloud and that fire went, because, you know, in the desert, we're out there particularly, even to this day, it gets up into, you know, about 120 degrees during the day. Praise God. You know, we think it's hot here today. But 120 degrees, dear Lord, you know. And so God would provide a cloud for them, so they wouldn't get burnt and scorched. But that wasn't the only purpose. The cloud was to lead them. So the cloud was their form of outward. In other words, wherever that cloud went, they had to follow that cloud. And as long as they followed that cloud, they were in the perfect will of God. Well, what about at night? It can get down in the 30s in the desert in the middle of the night. So there's a pillar of fire that kept them warm. Not only for that purpose, there's a double-fold purpose there, but also to lead them and to guide them. And so they had this cloud and they had this pillar of fire. And here's one artist's little picture of it here, you know, kind of a rendition of what they think it might have looked like, you know, in the tabernacle. Praise God. Someone says a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, that cloud and that pillar of fire was their source of direction. All right. Now, this is Old Testament. Now, people have to realize that people make statements like this: boy, I wish I had one of those clouds and fires just to follow around, you know. And well, let's go over to the New Testament here and let's see something here. Okay. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist said this. Are you ready? He said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but there is he that cometh after me that is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. Okay. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, this is when he's referring to this. He is not referring to a natural fire that's, you know, popping up the top of your head or something like that. He's not talking about that. This is a spiritual fire, okay? There's physical fire and then there's spiritual fire, amen? Yeah. On the day of Pentecost, yes. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says they had tongues of fire that sat upon each of them, but, you know, it didn't fry them like a piece of burnt chicken or something. I mean, the Holy Ghost came on them and it was a fire is consuming, yeah. All right? And we prayed for that today. How many of you know we need the fire? Yes. Amen. Yes. See, fire produces purity. Yes. When they like gold and stuff, like they use fire to purify it. Okay, and fire, the spiritual fire in our lives will purify us, and it'll burn off stuff that's not supposed to be there. Amen. Amen. Like sickness and disease and oppression and all these works of the enemy. The fire of God. When we get consumed with the fire of God. Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
Then it can burn off any insecurity, inferiority. I mean, anything you can think of that's weighing you down, that's plaguing you, that's holding you back. Praise God. Oh, we need a fresh dose of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire these days. Amen? Where we get so consumed with Him that those other things that used to trouble us, man, they just fall by the wayside. Praise God. So, why was the fire like, why was it an outward thing in the Old Testament? Well, for this simple reason. Everybody in the before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ were spiritually dead. Well, what does that mean? Their spirits were, they were physically alive, you know, their hearts beating in their chest, you know, they're still breathing and everything. But spiritual death is separation from God. They did not have the Holy Ghost inside them. Nobody could have the Spirit of God inside them until Jesus was raised from the dead. So God could not lead them from the inside. He had to lead them from outside, okay? It was like He had a big leash on them. He's just pulling them around the wilderness, you know what I'm saying? And that's the only way that He could have led them at that time, because spiritually they were dense. They were clueless. Now, how did the people in the Old Testament then receive direction from God? Well, we made mention of this last week. In fact, if you didn't get a CD from last week, please pick one up and kind of it'll catch you up to date, because this subject is absolutely essential for the believer. Amen? Praise God. But in the Old Testament, there's three individuals that God would anoint, outwardly anoint them, even though they didn't have the Holy Ghost in them, with the prophet, the priest, and the king, these three individuals. And the Spirit would come upon them, like David would, for example. And the people, the common people, would have to go to them to get direction for their life. Now, many times in the case of Moses, you know, when you got 2 million people, you're not going to go one by one-on-one to everybody. It would take you a lifetime to do that. That's why his father-in-law Jethro said, this isn't wise what you're doing, counseling one-on-one like this. He goes, you've got to divide the responsibility here. Amen? Are you with me? And but the Spirit of God would come upon Moses and David, and they would give direction for the people of God, for the Israelites. And as long as they listened to them, they were doing what God said. So you could see right away that this would be a major disadvantage, because if you're away from those guys, then there's no way of getting direction, because your spirit is dark, all right? But in the New Testament, the Bible says that God places His Spirit. Now, if you would go to Romans chapter 8 here, we'll read this again. In Romans chapter 8, I didn't bring my sinker this week, so, you know, if you weren't here, you'll know what I'm talking about. For as many, verse 14, that's Romans 8:14, says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's read that together. For as many as are led
by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Okay. In other words, sons of God, daughters of God, children of God, all the same thing, should expect to be led by the Spirit of God. You see that? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Real quick question. How many of you here are a child of God? Raise your hand. You know it. You're a child of God. Okay. That doesn't have to be a mystery. Amen? I had the privilege of doing my great aunt's funeral yesterday. She was 96 years old. Boy, did she live for God, you know. And I got to minister, and I got off my notes there with the ceremony, you know. And there's probably 50 or so people there, but she had a real desire to see people come to the Lord, you know. One of the things I began to say to the people there, and you know, you got people from every kind of background there that a lot of them aren't saved. And I said, you know, this thing about going to heaven doesn't have to be a mystery. You know, people say, well, I sure hope that I go there when I die, when I pass away, you know. And I told them bluntly and boldly and confidently, I said, it does not have to be a mystery to you. The Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen? And we were able to pray for the whole group right there to just invite Christ into their heart. Amen? Doesn't have to be a mystery. Amen? But notice, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So children of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. If you're a child of God, you can expect the Holy Spirit to lead you and to guide you. You say, well, all right, now how does He do that? Okay? Well, that's why we're here today. I'm going to teach you how to do that principle and look at these things. Now, first thing we will look at today is this. There's first of all, understanding the will of God. There's the general will of God found in Scripture. Okay? And we're going to talk about that part of it today. There's the general will of God when it comes to Scripture. For example, is it scriptural to pray, Lord, if it be thy will, heal me? That's not scriptural, is it? Why not? It's already written in the Word, isn't it? Is it scriptural to say, Lord, is it your will to save Uncle Bob? No. Why? Because Scripture has already been laid out about God's will concerning salvation. Well, Lord, is it your will that you baptize my neighbor with the Holy Ghost? No. It is always God's will to baptize someone in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the Word of God's already plain. It's already laid it out in the Word of God. Now, here's the thing. We're going to get into this in the next few weeks. Not sure what we're going to do next week. We might have a little different change because of the picnic situation as far as our message is concerned. But we'll definitely pick it up the following week here. Amen? But, you know, you have the general will of God in these areas like your salvation, where your healing is concerned, and so forth and so on. But then there's the specific will of God for your own life where you can't find a scripture that says you are to go down to this company down here and apply for a job at this place, or you're supposed to marry so-and-so. Are you with me now? You can't find chapter and verse like, you know, what am I going to do in a situation like that? Am I supposed to take this job? Am I supposed to get linked up with this person or so forth and so on? All these different questions that people have. So does that leave us hopeless and clueless in a situation like that? Absolutely not. Because we're going to show you that you have the general will of God where you know specifically from the Word of God what you're supposed to do. You don't even have to pray about that. I never, ever have to pray whether it's God's will to heal me. Never. I don't ever have to pray that. Now, some people actually think they do. I never have to say, oh, God, is it your will to save me? Is it your will to heal me? Is it your will to baptize me with the Holy Ghost? No. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. When you know what God's will is, which is His Word, you can have absolute strong confidence that when you pray, you have it. And we'll see that in a scripture here today in 1 John. You know, God wants all of us here to be strong in our confidence. Amen. One of the biggest robbers, one of the biggest thieves of the Christian today is having a sense of guilt or unworthiness. You know that? That's one of the biggest thieves and robbers in the body of Christ today is a sense of guilt and, you know, that feeling like you're not worthy. And therefore, when you feel that way, then you lack the confidence and the boldness when you do pray. You kind of like sheepishly go before God and say, well, I sure hope it works this time. Because what happens is we get so used to seeing ourselves after the flesh. Because we see our little faults and failures and idiosyncrasies and things like that. You know, we see, you know, it's just the facts, right? Yes. But what we have to realize is this, is that in God's eyes, we're already perfect. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, I got two kids. And you know what? From the natural, they're not perfect. Amen? They'll even tell you that. But in my eyes, they're perfect. Amen? Amen. That's my kids. And in my eyes, they're perfect. Does that mean they're faultless? No. Does that mean they're flawless? No. But the way I see them is perfect. Amen? And Kelly will probably remind me of that today sometime, you know. You can see, hear the gears going already, you know. All right, Daddy. What about that purse, you know, that sitting up there at that store? Anyway. Sense of guilt, unworthiness, all right? Let me ask you a question. When you received Jesus, did he forgive you?
Yes.
Did he or didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, he forgave you. Are you cleansed or are you not cleansed?
Cleansed.
Are you washed or not washed?
Washed?
Are you pure or not pure?
Pure.
Okay, then why do you act, why do people act as if they're not cleansed, act as if they're not forgiven? See, there's no sin that you can commit that the blood of Jesus isn't big enough to forgive that sin. I don't care if it was, you know, 5 minutes ago.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus. And I'm not saying that to give you a license to go out and, you know, and do all kind of, you know, crazy stuff and all that. But, you know, if you're serving God, you're not going to want to do that kind of stuff anyway, right? But I'm telling you, if you miss it and you get in the flesh or whatever, you know, there is forgiveness, there is cleansing for you. And if God forgives you, you need to forgive you. Because I'll tell you what will rob you more than anything else. And that's why a lot of people have confidence in other people's prayers rather than their own prayers, is because they have a sense of unworthiness about them. And they may have never said that. They may have never vocalized that. But deep down inside, there's guilt. There's condemnation, like, oh, I just screwed up. I made mistakes. I did this. I did that. Listen, the blood of Jesus is bigger than your mistakes, bigger than your sins. And if God can forgive you, why can't you forgive you? Right? Thank you, Lord. I mean, when children, think about it, when children are born into this earth, you know, they don't have a sense of guilt or of lacking or anything. They're just, they don't have that, you see. And we're children of God, and when we come to Jesus, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, in 1 Peter 2:2. So you need to see yourself as a brand new babe in Christ. You're forgiven. A baby doesn't have a past. You wouldn't walk up in the section in the hospital where all the newborns are and look at them and say, oh, what an awful past they have. Come on. Are you with me? They've only been there 5 minutes or whatever. You know what I'm saying? No, they don't have a past. All they have is a future ahead of them. Well, guess what? When you're in Christ, yes, when you come born again and you get in Christ, Lord, old things have passed away.
Amen.
Old
Amen.
Things have passed That's away. Right. And so God is able... Now, hear me out. God is able to not only forgive you, but he has the ability to forget. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions. Now, listen, this is kind of interesting. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions. If you're traveling east and you keep traveling east, at what point do you hit west?
Never.
Never. Amen. Guys are smart, praise God. What happens if you travel north? What's going to happen? You're going to eventually what? You're going to go south, right? Well, the Bible says, it didn't say from the north to the south. It says, for as the east is from the west, he's removed our transgressions. And I think it's Isaiah that talks about how he's buried our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Okay? So God not only forgives you, but he has the ability to wipe it out as if it never existed. If he was able to remember it, he says, thy sins and thy iniquities I will remember no more. Okay? So when you've asked God to forgive you and you come before Him and say, "Oh Lord, I just feel so bad about that," you still have those feelings on the inside of you. You know what I'm saying? Like you still feel guilty, but you've asked the Lord to forgive you. And then you go before the Lord. He's going to say this, "I don't know what you're talking about. I have no remembrance of what you're even talking about. You did what? You did? I don't see that." Are you with me? That's the way you need to see yourself. See, what God wants to do is rid us from guilt and condemnation so that we can have a confidence and a boldness that when we pray, things are going to happen. Instead of that little imp sitting on your shoulder after year after year and say, "You ain't getting it this time. You ain't getting your healing this time. Yeah. You don't have faith. Yeah." That's what the devil does. Sitting on a person's shoulder, whispering in their ear, telling them lies that the Word of God is not going to work for you. Huh? Those are lies from the enemy. Because he's sent to make you think that the Word is not true. The greatest lie that the devil will, the greatest fear, I should say, that the devil tries to perpetrate to the body of Christ is this fear. Number one, that the Word of God does not work for you. Now, you don't have any problem believing it'll work for somebody else. But when it comes to you, it's another thing entirely. So what we need to do is just kick those demons off of us. I mean, just get rid of them. Amen. We're not talking about a mindset here, just a psychological thing. We're talking about demon spirits that are sent, not in you, but try to sit on you and influence you to say, "This stuff doesn't work." All right? Well, you don't have confidence, and you have faith in everybody else's prayers to pray for you, but you don't have confidence in your own prayer. But let me tell you something. God wants you and me, all of us together, to have such utmost confidence in our prayers that when we pray, we know that He's going to answer us. We know that He's going to come through for us. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And likewise, my children, I was referring to them. They don't have to be perfect in the flesh in order for me to bless them or love them or give them things. Because my love towards them is not based on that. It's based on we have father-son-daughter relationship. You know what I'm saying? And I'm in it for the long haul, okay? Even if they screw up big time, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm there to lift them up and to encourage them and to support them. How much more does our Heavenly Father believe in us? If you being natural know how, Jesus said, how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask Him? Thank you, Lord. And this takes the struggle. This takes the struggle out of trying to get the possessions that God promised you in His Word. It takes the struggle out of it. It's like, makes it easy. Remember, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Amen? So, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. So, we have to understand the will of God. The general will of God is found in Scripture. Okay? You'll be so glad that you came today, believe me, because these principles in the Word of God literally change your life. All right, look at verse 14, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith," now you know Ephesians is written to the believers, all right? "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, he's writing this to believers, people that are born again, right? And he says, verse 16, "redeeming the time because the days are evil." Verse 17, "wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will," notice this, "understanding what the will of the Lord is." Well, according to this verse, he wants us to understand what the will of the Lord is, right? Would you come to that conclusion right here? He says, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. He says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. All right? Well, in verse 18, He says, do not be drunk with wine. Let me put it to you this way. God doesn't want you to be intoxicated with the world system. The world system. But he wants you to be, the Greek actually says this, don't get drunk on the natural stuff, get drunk on the spiritual stuff. Amen. It's all right to get drunk in the spirit. Thank you, Lord. You ever been drunk in the spirit before? Anybody here, raise your hand. If you ever been drunk in the spirit? You know we need some soaking services like that. I'll be honest with you. Okay. All right. Okay. I hear that. We need some services just solely dedicated for those that understand this and want the move of the Holy Ghost in a greater way, where we come and we soak in God's presence, where you can get drunk with the Holy Ghost. And I'm not talking about weird stuff. I'm talking about getting so filled with God. You have so much. You can get so full of God, you can start laughing in the spirit and crying at the same time. And you talk about healing. You know, I remember about 15 years ago, I was in a service. What's that guy's name? Rodney Howard Brown. Rodney Howard Brown, and he was in an area in Pittsburgh here, and the Lord really used him at that time for initiating revival and stirring the flames up in people's lives. I mean, it was just powerful, you know. And the guy, besides that, he's just got a tremendous sense of humor in the Holy Ghost, just amazing, you know. But it's just the way God used them. Well, I was going through something. I'm telling you, I was so heavy, you know, spiritually, emotionally. I mean, I was sinking real quick. There was just a time in my life that I was going through some really, really, really hard things. And I honestly didn't know how I was going to make it. I really didn't know. It was that bad. And I went up there by myself. I drove up there with a morning service, and he was having a service in there, and I just kind of dragged myself in there. Didn't even feel like doing it, but I just was there, you know, and I sat down, and he began to share the Word of God, and then the Spirit of God began to move. And I'm telling you, I felt lower than a snake's belly. That's pretty low. And just discouraged. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was so discouraged. But you know what happened? The Spirit of God started moving, and the joy of the Lord started breaking out in the congregation, you know. And then someone over here in this section would stand up. You'd just start to laugh in the Holy. It wasn't like he, you know, like someone told a joke. It wasn't like that. It was like a holy thing, you know. And then someone else started. And all of a sudden, it came into my section where I was. And I was by myself. I don't know why Lynn wasn't with me, but she probably told me to get up there, you know. And this is years ago. And I'm telling you, I was so discouraged. But I'll tell you, the Spirit of God started moving in there. And all of a sudden, and it had to be the Holy Ghost, because it couldn't have been me. I mean, there was nothing in me to produce that. I mean, I'll be honest with you. And I started getting filled with laughter. There was nothing funny, but it was like a laughter in the Spirit of God that came on me. I'd never experienced this before like this. The first time I'd ever experienced this. I saw it happen with other people. I thought, why not me? You know? Well, it happened to me this time. And I'm telling you, it was like the spirit of joy and a gladness came on me. And I'm telling you, I felt like I was drunk. I was sitting down. But it was the best feeling I ever had in my entire life. And joy and glad. I started weeping, and my shirt was almost soaked with tears. Just started, you know, just the Spirit of God came on me, you know. And I tell you, I walked out of that service a brand new person. Oh, I'm telling you, that cloud that was on me, God just lifted that thing supernaturally. Because I've been under that cloud for weeks and weeks and weeks, you know. It's like that cartoon with the black cloud following someone around, you know that? That was me, you know, be honest with you. And it's like that cloud just removed, and the joy of the Lord came in, and I just felt new strength, new vision, new joy for what I was called to do, and the discouragement just left. And it was at that point things started to turn around for my life. Amen? And he says, don't be drunk with wine. That's the imitation. Okay? Why have the imitation when you can have the real? Right? See, some people think, bless their heart, they think, Christians sometimes think this, that, well, you know, if you get drunk in the spirit, you know, because sometimes people have been in meetings and they'll see people get in the flesh, you know what I mean? They'll do things and they'll think, well, I don't want to be like that. I don't blame you. Okay? You're always going to have people that imitate it, but then you're always going to have the real. But don't let the imitation, you know, how many of you know that there are counterfeit $10 bills out there? Well, does that stop you from spending your $10? No. The fakes out there. You know, there's no counterfeit $3 bills because there's no real $3 bills. Right? And so just because there's a fake out there doesn't mean the real's not there, because the real is there.
Yeah. Amen.
And when you get intoxicated with God and you get filled with Him, that doesn't mean you lose control and you don't, you know where you're at, you forget what time it was, and you wake up with a hangover. We're not talking about that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about waking up and you know what the will of God is.
Yeah.
And you got joy in your heart, peace in your heart.
Amen?
Amen? And so, you know, I didn't know this until just a few minutes ago, but we'll let you know. I'll ask the Lord when we're going to do it. We're going to have some services dedicated here and there for soaking services where we can come together. Not sure when it's going to be, but I'll let you know. Where we can have a Holy Ghost atmosphere where you can learn to get into this. Amen?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you'll never, ever be the same.
Yeah.
All right, so he says here, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He says, verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay? So we read those scriptures right there. So God wants us to know what His will is. Turn over real quick to the gospel or the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Okay. Notice in verse 13, okay? So you have the general will of God, and then you have the specific will of God. The general will of God is found in the scriptures. Okay? That's why it's so important that whatever you're praying about, find some scriptures that cover that area. You know, if you're praying for healing, for example, get some scriptures, 2, 3, 4, 5, get some scriptures or whatever, how many amounts you want. Begin to look at those, write them down, type them out, print them out from your computer, whatever, you know, and start looking at those scriptures, because that is God's will for you. Now look at 1 John 5:13. It says, John says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, notice that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. See, remember I was quoting that before about at that funeral service? Doesn't have to be a mystery. God wants you to know ahead of time. Verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. And underline that word confidence here. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now let's look at that for a minute here. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His what? Will. He heareth us. So that tells me this, that when you ask something not according to God's will, He doesn't even hear it. He doesn't even hear it. Well, Lord, what about that prayer? He'll say, what prayer? See, if we pray in line with the Word of God, it says right here, He heareth us. Now look at verse 15. And we know that if He does hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. Case in point, getting ready to go on a trip somewhere, you know, whether you're driving, flying, whatever, taking a donkey, whatever, you know, and you pray and you say, no, Lord, according to Your word right now, You said that You would give Your angels charge over me, and therefore right now as we take this trip, I'm asking You, Lord, right now to give us divine protection as we drive from this point to this point. And Lynn's faithful to do this. Every time we get in a car to go on a trip, Lord, we just surround this car with the blood of Jesus from bumper to bumper and side to side. Amen. I mean, she just about covers every part in the car. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, plead the blood of Jesus over that thing, you know? And that gives us the confidence.
Yeah.
that gives us the confidence that that day we're not going to get in a wreck. We're not going to get in an accident. Hallelujah. You know, during World War II, when bombings were going on in Europe, over in Europe, there was they had the shelters, you know, where people, this true story, where they would have the sirens go off in the raid, and people would get into their bunkers and so forth for protection, all right? And they noticed the people that would always go to the same ones in their district, wherever they were, noticed that this one particular woman wasn't going to the air raid shelter at night when the sirens would go off. And they thought maybe something happened to her, maybe she got bombed or she lost her life. Well, someone ran into her a week or two later, and they said, Where have you been? We haven't seen you in the shelter when the air raid sirens are going off. She said, well, I read a scripture in the Bible that says that God neither sleeps nor slumbers, so there's no need for both of us being up. So I stayed at home, went to sleep. Boom, 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 all around her, but she's laying there sleeping and relaxed. Thank you, Jesus. She just took God at His word. So this is the what? The confidence? Say confidence. Confidence. Is it God's will that you have confidence? Yes. Oh, yeah. Don't let people, don't let the devil steal your... Listen to me very carefully. Don't let anybody steal your confidence. Don't let guilt, condemnation rob you of your confidence. The devil will say, well, if you were super Christian, you know. Listen, there's no super Christians anyway. There's just super Jesus. There's no super saints. We're all in this thing together. Amen. You know, here's just a little thought. Right when you think someone, when you look at them from the outward, you know, you're looking at a distance, you think, they have their acts together so much. They, you know, I bet they wake up in the morning speaking in tongues at one another. You know, they're just so spiritual, you know. Well, go live with them for a week and you'll find out that they're just as natural as you are. Okay? If you lived with our family, you'd realize we're not perfect either. There's times that we have arguments. Okay? Or intense fellowship. Are you with me? Someone says, oh, the pastor got in an argument. Hey, more than once. You know? I was trying to convince her that I was right. You know? But, you know, if you follow someone too closely in the flesh, you're going to find out, I don't care who, they could be the most famous preacher in the world, you're going to find out, listen, there are things that some people do and say that may not line up with what I thought they should be like, you know. And this goes back to that thing about being idealistic rather than realistic. You set yourself, if a person is idealistic, you are setting yourself up for immediately to be discouraged by someone else's action. Because, in other words, what does that mean? Idealistic means, here's how I think they should act, here's what I think they should do, and when they don't do what you think they should do or act, you're like, and then you're like, and what happens is I'm saying this because I've been there myself, okay? And what happens is in your heart, you get kind of offended at that person because it's like, they're not acting like I think they should act. I mean, I thought they were a little further along than that. You know what I'm saying? But to be realistic, you look at that person. Because why is it you can have mercy on yourself, but other people you judge it? Say, well, I had good intentions, you know, But why is it with someone else, you're like, they didn't do what I thought they should do. Huh? They didn't act the way I thought that they should act. So when you're realistic instead of idealistic, you can look at a person and say, you know, that minister or whoever they are, or Christian, you could say, you know, they're human like anybody else. You know, they could be going through a hard time. So you know what? It's no big deal. It's no big deal. And just move on. Amen? Instead of allowing that thing to get inside of our hearts that would try to break off that, because here's what we have to understand. This, you know, we're going all over the place here this morning. This is like one of those shotgun sermons. You know, you shoot it and the bullets go everywhere. So it's hitting something here, hitting something over there, you know. When I was a kid, you know, I thought they were using one bullet for those skeet things, you know, that would shoot up, you know, like that whatever that thing is, that clay pigeon would go up there and a boom. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, but I didn't realize that's a shotgun. I thought it was one bullet. And they're not even eyeing it up. They're just like this. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, that's ridiculous how good they are, you know. But no, this is not one of those one bullets here. This is a a 12-gauge here. Amen? Where was I? What was I talking about? Help me, Lord. Where was I? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How do we get back on the main path now? I lost my way here. Somebody get your GPS out here. All right, well, whatever it is, Lord, help me remember what that was. But he said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So that means when you know what God's will is, you can absolutely pray with utmost confidence. And you don't have to have any special feeling attached to that either. You don't have to have some wild and crazy feeling, goosebump, whatever, you know. Some of the things I've seen come to pass in my own life, I just prayed the word of God over it, and I didn't feel, from the natural, but I didn't feel anything. I really didn't. There was no special feeling. No special anointing, as they say, you know. It was just prayed the scripture, prayed the word of God. Amen? So let's go over to one more scripture here in Matthew chapter 8. And we'll close here for the day, okay? Matthew chapter 8. So we know from 1 John that if we ask anything according to his will, which is his word, he heareth us. And we know that if he heareth us, we have the petitions we desire of him. Boy, that's really good, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Now, here's a guy here. We'll look at this. We'll close with this. But here's a guy that didn't know whether it was God's will to heal him or Jesus' will to heal him. And let's just see how Jesus responded to him. Look at verse 1. That's Matthew 8, verse 1. Says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Well, you know, what was he doing up there on the mountain? He was praying. Okay? When he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there was a leper that worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, we would say, like that's King James, but we would say, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. Okay? So this guy, this leper here, he really didn't know. He honestly did not know what God's will was or Jesus' will was concerning this. So he said, if it's your will, Lord, you can heal me. Now, verse 3 shows us what God's will was, what Jesus' will was, because Jesus said, I do nothing except I see the Father do it first. So God's will and Jesus' will, they're one and the same. All right? And the guy's question was, if you're willing to heal me, it's going to be all right. But he said in verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Say that. I will. One more time. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Well, verse 2, he didn't know. So he asked him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand. Now, how many of you know you're not supposed to touch lepers? That's a contagious disease. Jesus was fearless. Amen. I know, I understand you got to use wisdom and stuff like that and so forth and so on. But listen, when you're full of God, you don't have any fear of anything. You don't have any fear of disease and this thing and that thing. You don't have any fear. Amen? Do you realize this, that the biggest thing, the Bible says we've been delivered from the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you and me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. No fear. No fear. No fear of people. No fear of disease. No fear of dying. That's the biggest fear right there, fear of dying. Well, for the Christian, there's nothing to fear. What's the worst thing that can happen to you as a Christian? You open the door and there's Jesus and you're in heaven. And you're like, and I was afraid of what? I'm not saying, you know, you're leaving tomorrow. I'm not saying that, you know what I mean? But I'm saying we have nothing to be afraid of. Absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Amen? You know, last week, it's kind of a funny thing here, that we, Kelly graduating this year, you know, she wanted to go to Cedar Point. You know, it's an amusement park for her graduation. So we took her up there last Friday, and her friend and Josh, our whole family went up there, you know, and they're pretty notorious for roller coasters. They got all these crazy roller coasters that go 120 miles an hour and 400 feet in the air and just, you know, how many like roller coasters? Let's all go. Let's have a sign-up sheet and let's go. Amen? I like roller coasters. But it's so funny because we got, we took a video of it actually, but we were standing in line at this one roller coaster and it was about almost an hour wait, you know, and you're just weaving in and out, you know, and you know, and you're always passing the same people because it's, you know, it's just the way the nature of the thing is, you know, the lines, you know, just weaving back and forth. And there was a guy there probably in his 40s, 50s, I don't know, something like that. And he had a pair of headphones in, you know. And he was by himself. He didn't have a partner or anything that with him, you know. And he's playing, we can't hear it, but he's playing tunes in his ear, you know. And I mean, blasting these tunes. And he's acting it out. He said, "Run, run!" And I mean, he's just going at it, man. He's just going at it, you know. And he's pointing his finger, slapping people. I mean, we're like, "Is this guy for real or what?" Honest to goodness, it was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. At first, I thought he was just joking, you know what I mean? But I think this guy's really serious here, you know. And and Josh takes my phone and starts filming it, you know what I mean? We found out later that the guy's been doing it for 4 years. They got him on YouTube, man. He's been known to do that, you know. But the point that, the thing that hit me, I said, well, one thing about it, he sure is not afraid of people. You know? And his voice was really not good at all, you know? And he's just belting out these words and all these secular songs and just singing at the top of his lungs. I mean, wasn't he? And I thought, dear God, if this guy can do this fearless, how much more should we be able to do stuff for the kingdom of God? And fearless, right? Amen. Just absolutely fearless. Amen? I think it's on my iPhone, isn't it? Jesus was like, do you want to show it? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Amen? Well, God wants us fearless, doesn't he? So, next time we get together, it's not going to be next Sunday when I share this. It's going to be something different at the church picnic. But the following Sunday, we're going to get into the specifics about. Now, today we wanted to cover the general will of God, that you find scripture that cover, you know, what you're believing for. Are you with me now? Okay. Now, but the general will of God today is that you able to find scriptures that promise you what God's will is. The best way that you can pray, is to pray the Word of God over yourself and over other people. Because you know that you're going to have this. If you're praying the Word of God, you're going to have it. Amen. For example, when I pray for y'all, all right? I'll take scriptures, several scriptures, and I'll pray them over you. All right? The Bible says that we're washed with the water of the Word of God. All right? And I'll take a scripture, two or three or four or five or six, and just begin to pray them. And I'll say, Father, I pray for so-and-so, or I'll pray for every man, every woman, every boy and girl in Covenant Family Church. That covers everybody. Amen? Because if I did it by name, I might lose track, okay, and forget somebody. Although sometimes God will lead you specifically to pray for one-on-one. But you know, the Apostle Paul didn't know that everybody at the church at Ephesus. There's thousands of believers. Or Colossae. But he prayed for the whole church. Thousands of people. And he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, the church here, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you might know the hope of his calling, what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints in light, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe." He didn't call them by name, but he says to the church. And he would pray and know God heard him. God heard him. So you don't have to get so detailed that you have to call everybody out by name. You know what I'm saying? You can actually, if you're praying for a group of people, you can just put them all in one group here. And God will hear those prayers as if you're just praying for one person. He'll get them all at the same time. Amen? Like, here's a couple of scriptures. For example, Philippians 4:19. The Bible says, "My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So therefore, I pray for it right now. I'm just using this as an example. I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl, Covenant Family Church. I pray, Philippians 4:19, that you would supply every need according to your riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Father, I pray according to Jude 1:24, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before his presence with exceeding great joy." Heavenly Father, I pray according to Galatians 4:19, "My little children, in whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Oh, Father, I pray Philippians 1:6, "That he that hath begun a good work in them, you would complete it unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." I thank you that no weapon formed against, according to Isaiah 54, that no weapon formed against these shall prosper in Jesus' name. Now, the weapon might be formed, but it's not going to prosper. Amen. Amen. And so, that's just a couple of things there, but when I'm done praying that, then I'll pray in the Spirit. Pray in other tongues for things that I'm not mentally aware of. See, I don't know, as a pastor of this church, I don't know everything you're going through unless you told me. And most of the time, it's none of my business. All right? But I can pray in the Spirit, pray in other tongues when my mind is not engaged. Because, see, when you pray in the Spirit, that's not your mind praying. That's your spirit praying. When you pray in your native tongue, English, for example, you're praying out of your understanding, out of your will, out of your mind. Okay? But when you pray in tongues and you pray in the Spirit, there's things you can pray about that your mind knows nothing about. It's awesome. I mean, it is really awesome. What an advantage that you and I have. You think about this. Amen?
Amen.
And why do people fight so hard against something that's only going to help you? They don't understand it. Religious people don't understand it. Why do you have to speak in that tongue? So what good is that? You know, well, look at the verses of Scripture. Find some Scriptures. I'm telling you, there's a host of Scriptures about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some of you haven't spoken in tongues until, you know, you busted your foot against the dining room table or something like that. Well, it's better than cussing. Amen. Hop around, you know. But listen, you don't have to wait till something bad happens before you start praying in tongues. All right? See, don't treat God like a spare tire. The only time you think of a spare tire is when you get a flat. All right? Sure, I hope there's one back there, that little donut thing, whatever it is, you know. But no, you can pray in the Spirit, and you know this. I'll tell you this. I'll leave you with this today. Amen? You can be absolutely assured, 100%. We talked about this in our leadership meeting Friday night. Because listen, if you're going to be a good leader, you have to first of all be a good follower. None of us are a leader unto ourselves. Because our sufficiency is of the Lord, who's made us able ministers of the gospel. And the more we're connected to Christ and the anointing, then the greater leader that we can be in any given area that we're leaders over. Okay? I can only be a leader to the degree that I'm a follower. Amen? Jesus said, come and I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say, just go out there and try it on your own. Try to be a fisher of men. He said, no, follow me. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. So when you follow Jesus and you follow Him and you follow the Holy Ghost, He can enable you to be things that you can't be in your own strength. Yes. Glory be to God. Praise God. Amen. Makes me want to just jump. This is exciting stuff. Amen. Say the pastor jumped in church today. Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. I might fly through here sometime. Amen. Glory to God. Amen? Because I don't have any fear of what people are going to think. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be weird or anything like that, but it's just, you know, I got delivered from myself a few years ago, and I'm glad that I did. Okay? Praise God. What if I screw up? So what? So what? Won't be the first time. Amen? God wants people to step out of the boat and start stepping out in faith and start stretching yourself a little bit, you know? You know what I'm saying? And you'll be surprised how the grace of God will just meet you there. Okay? But as you pray in the Spirit, you begin to pray in other tongues, you can be assured that you're praying the will of God for yourself or for other people. And it's never pray to miss. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Good, sweetheart.
Praise you, Jesus. Let's get our eyes on the Lord for just a moment here. Praise the name of Jesus. Sabrovikia Rashia Rovoka. Rish de Rebecca Dona Ride Shovron. More. Ha ha ha. Rish Evrekidian Zovrota Revike se Gronda Shambro Vegish de Vovovama. Hey, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha. Holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord. Holy is my Father, holy is my Daddy, holy is the Lord. Masebrokuria shivre de shivakrabokarano. If you could just turn to Isaiah 28, the scripture has just been rolling around, and I want you to see it before you go. Isaiah 28. I'm just going to focus on one portion of this scripture here, and we're going to look at verse 11. Whew, my goodness. She break here, shavra shavokoramase, bredia shogogaramaste. Holy is the Lord. Isaiah 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Whew, my goodness. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye shall cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. My goodness, ma karavisha bo 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 karavisha bo bo my goodness, ma sevroshe breke dasa vo ba ba ma ma. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's pray in the Spirit for just a moment. She brova karishte de dakando, isavro kobrovishte la hasovritia shabroba, hobro sivre kiasa rojo talavito, wabrishiaka. Shiaka rovoko ristia la masavro mama mama. Oh wow, mama mama my, ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord, for that. Ha ha ha. Shivreshi vavarobobo, rishia talava kristo brovana sivrekalo vova mama siso. Hallelujah. Jesus said these signs would follow those that believe. In Mark chapter 16, it says in the word that we would speak with new tongues. Now, who said that? Who said that? Jesus said we would speak with new tongues. So it's not weird if our Messiah, our Lord, our Savior said that we would speak with new tongues, then we're to speak with new tongues. Amen? But it's awesome. It says here that we're going to be refreshed. How many of you could use a refreshing in your life? Whew, my. I can't tell you how many times when I've been through tests and trials and different situations, even coming against my body, but just praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're having prayer this Friday night. I'm telling you, if you're not used to it, come on in and get soaked up. I'm telling you, God's anointing is going to move mightily in your lives. When we spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, it's not meant to be weird. But if we can't talk about it here, then what are we doing here? Amen? 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 They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It says that in Acts chapter 2. Amen? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. It'll change your life. It'll change the lives of those around you. But yet, it says they wouldn't hear. There's some Christians that just don't want to hear it. They're embarrassed by it because we got to walk around like we're in a three-piece suit all the time. Amen? We got to loosen up. Amen? Ha ha. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My. God wants to do some things in your life today. I'm convinced of it. I feel like there's those that need hands laid upon them this morning. And if you're not sure, then don't come up. But if you know you need a touch from God, then come on up. Hallelujah. You know it. You just need a touch from the Lord this morning.